Well, it is a joy to get to come to this part of the service, and I trust that this is a blessing to you. As I mentioned on the way out, the ushers will have some of these stickers. If you find a place for that, then certainly please take one of those, and we'll be glad to give those. I want you to look at Genesis, though, chapter number 18, if you would. We're looking at Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 18. As you find your place there in Genesis 18, we're going to start off in verse 1. We'll read about six verses or so. But as you're looking there in Genesis, I did hear this story about these older couple. They were up in years, and every night they would pray. They would pray, and they would just say, well, after the end of their prayers, they said, Lord, well, we're ready whenever you want to come get us. They would thought that'd be a good thing, always ready to be offered. Lord, we're ready whenever you want to come get us. Well, a couple of their nephews stayed with them a good many times, and they would always hear their Aunt Ruby and Uncle Si, Lord, if you want us, whenever you're ready, we're here, you take us. Well, the nephews got the idea one summer night. The windows were up to get a little bit of air in there. They climbed up on the roof. You get out there, and they just waited for Aunt Ruby and Uncle Si to say, Lord, when you're ready. And they got up on there, and they just went down and says, they said, hello? And they said, who's that? Said, it's the Lord. And Si punched Ruby, said, see what he wants. And so Ruby said, what do you want? And those boys from up on top there said, we come to get Si. Si scared him to death, said, ask him if he's sure. Are you sure? I'm sure. So he took off, hid under the bed, and put some covers up around him and all kinds of stuff, and tried to say, he said, tell him I ain't here. Ruby said, Lord, he ain't here. Say, he ain't there. Say, he ain't here. Well, Ruby, we'll just take you. She said, wait a minute, Lord. And so she got down underneath that bed and said, Si, he already knows you're here. Now get up there and go. So that's not true either, I'm sure. But in Genesis 18, we're going to look here on Abraham. And as he's getting visited by some heavenly messengers, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, now if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. We won't read on, but we'll look at it later, verse 7 and 8. Abraham runs a herd and fetches a calf and gets ready for supper. I want to preach for a little while about these heavenly messengers that came to Abraham. And as we see this wonderful story, we have them telling Abraham about there's going to be a son born. You're going to have Isaac. And we know that Sarah laughed, the Bible says here later in the passage, and she then denies it. And she says, well, she's not the first or the last lady that said something. Says, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't say it, but all of us do a little of that. But before you're too hard on Abraham and Sarah, if you were up in the age that they were and just came in from the field and somebody came and told you you was going to have a baby, you might be a little disinterested as well and not believe it. John Rice, who started the Sword of the Lord, he used to preach many times at ladies' meetings. We used to have ladies' jubilees often at the Franklin Road. And so he was preaching, and oftentimes he would preach to ladies, and he would preach about having children. And he had several girls himself. And so he would preach about them having children, raising them up for the Lord. And many people had been seen victories given their lives about not being able to have children, but he would pray over them, and they hadn't. Well, he got up in years, and he was preaching this large ladies' meeting. There was grandmas and moms and teenagers. Everybody was in there, a bunch of ladies. And he started praying, but he's up in years and forgot a little bit about what he had been supposed to do. So as all of these ladies stood, he said, let's stand for prayer. And this big auditorium full of ladies, of grandparents and grandmothers and mothers and all, and he started praying on them that they all would be able to have children and bring lives into it. They said there was grandmas diving under pews or people hitting every door, said, I don't want him praying for me. I'm way past that age. Well, that's where Sarah was, and she was surprised, to say the least, when these messengers came and told her that they're going to have a son, going to have a family. And we've got a wonderful story here of God's greatness. And I want to bring out a couple of points and get to my third one, because I believe that's where the Lord would have us dwell this morning. But I want you to look at verse number 3 and 4, and we see that Abraham is ready to display hospitality. And he said, "My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water." He says, would you just stick around for a little bit? Now, culturally, we're very different than they were in this day and age. In that setting, it would have been very odd for somebody to have gone through the region and somebody not offered to be hospitable to them and even keep them in their house. Now, we would think that'd be very unsafe today, and we wouldn't do that. We'd just say, go down to Holiday Inn Express. You can get you a room down there. But we love to be in the South. We're Southerners, and so we say, well, we got hospitality. Well, in that day and age, in that region, they would have been very unlikely that those strangers would have made it through, any strangers, without somebody being hospitable to them. And it's not the message this morning, but you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. I believe that a lot of times we've missed a great opportunity to be a blessing to people. Why? We don't know them. And I'm not suggesting that anybody come and find somebody going up your street and say, hey, why don't you come on in here? You can stay here tonight. Number one, they probably think you're a lunatic. If they don't think that, number two, you might not have any valuables when you get up in the morning. So I'm not saying you should do it, but I'm just saying that we ought to be kind to people. And so in our fast-paced world, we don't do much of this, but we ought to be kind. So I want you to look at this in verse number 7 and verse number 8. Notice he gets some good stuff out here. The Bible says Abraham ran under the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. So in verse number 8, he talks about getting the butter and the milk and getting it all ready and getting these things out. That'd be the equivalent if somebody stopped by our house and I said, all right, I'm going to stay here. And our Allie, our youngest, said, all right, Allie, you go over to the KFC, get me one of those big buckets of chicken, and then you start sizing up the crowd. Well, there's a lot of them. Get 2 buckets of chicken, and then get me some mashed potatoes, and get me some coleslaw, and get me this, and get me that. That'd be the equivalent of that, but Kentucky Fried Chicken hadn't franchised out to that area of the world at that point. Colonel Sanders hadn't come around. Kentucky hadn't been invented, Brother Schelling. But so they say, well, we're going to get this fatted, this calf, or a tender. It's good. It's going to be some good meat. And so the servants start getting that, and they bring it in. Then he picks a picnic spot. Look in verse number 8. He took the butter, took the milk, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree. They found a little spot there, probably where it was a little cooler, under the tree. And Abraham's ready to display this hospitality. Now, you got to see that part, yes, but you got to see the other part as well. We're looking at verse 10, 12, and 15, I think it is. Sarah doesn't believe what she hears. In verse number 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. And if she had been like some of the ladies we'd know, he said, you say what out there? Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. And so we see that she doesn't believe what she had been hearing. But before you get too hard on Sarah, you and I don't do so good about believing what God tells us either. My God shall supply all your need according to riches in glory. But then you look at your monthly budget and you say, wait, there's too much month at the end of this money. I can't make all this work. And we disbelieve God as well. God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so we know that the Lord will be with us. But then when we go through difficulties of losing someone, or we go through difficulties of the trials of life, we look up and we say, Lord, I feel like I'm all alone. So before we get too hard on Sarah, I've got to be hard on John first and say, you don't believe God all the time either. And so we see that Sarah doesn't believe what the Lord is sending the message. Remember, Sarah is the one that had the idea of Hagar. And then before you get too hard on her, then Abraham went right along with it, this wicked plan that wasn't in God's plan. God was going to take care of Abraham and Sarah without Sarah's help. And just in case we ever wonder whether we need to step in and help God, we don't. But Sarah was skeptical about what she was hearing. We get skeptical as well. I've told you before that some of my family members, my cousin and some of her family, they had some device when I was a kid. And I'd go down their basement. There was this device. You stood on the platform, had this big head that was a motor and had this strap that went around your backside. And it just shook you. Supposed to shake you to a thinner you. Now, I've saw many folks use those things, but I don't think it was working on all of them. I watched this other thing one time. This little device was just small, and you put it in your mouth, and you bit down on it. And if you bit down on it, just while you was just doing your other work, I know it's true because I saw it on TV. But as you bit down on it, it was going to make this chiseled jaw stick out here. Oh, it's going to look like a movie star or an actress. I saw this other one that somehow, it looked like some sort of torture device. Well, it went around your neck, but it was supposed to take all that stuff out of there. Make it all look tight and nice, like it's been sucked up from the back. Now, you can be skeptical of all those things. Sarah, I don't believe she'd seen those infomercials, but she was skeptical of this, of what these messengers were telling her. Even though she was skeptical, aren't you thankful that even in our skepticism, that doesn't keep God from working? Because I don't know about you, but God's drugged me kicking and screaming on several different items. He said he'd do it. I doubted he'd do it. I even told some other people, I don't think it's going to happen. And then God goes and does it anyway. Now, there's been many times our lack of faith have kept him from doing it because his hand is not shortened. He can do whatever he wants. But in our lives, he may not do it because we don't have the faith. But there's been many times when I doubt it and God still came through. And so I want to bring you this one last point here as we see that as Sarah disbelieves, but Abraham is given to this hospitality. But I'm telling you that God is getting ready to dispel the hardship that this family had. And I want you to go back one chapter to verse number 17. In verse number 4 of chapter 17, God says this, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee." Well, that's a good place to start. God says, "Abraham, I've got a covenant with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." Verse 5, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." Now, I'm told that the word Abram means high father. And then when God changes it from Abram to Abraham, I'm told that that combining of those words brings it to this, a father of the multitude. But now remember, except for the one that he shouldn't have had, Ishmael, born out of a sinful union there, Abraham doesn't have any children. Can you imagine being introduced to people after he changed his name from Abram to Abraham? And they said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Abraham." Now, in those days, the names would have meant a lot more than they do now. My name, Herdman, must have meant somebody back in my past, probably was a sheep herder or some kind of animals. And if your last name is Butcher, then probably you have one of those back in your past somewhere. And many other instances like that. But in Bible times, those names were given to indicate who they were. God is our refuge. Behold, God is our strength. And different names, when people would hear those names, says that's the kind of family they came from. Well, when Abraham, can you imagine when he would have been in introducing himself to people? "My name is Abraham." Well, immediately the people would have thought, "Well, how many children you got? You're a father of a multitude. Can I meet some of your children?" And Abraham would have had to say, "I don't have any." And how they might snicker under their breath and say, "What do you mean you don't have any children? You're the father of the multitude. Where are all these children that your name indicates that you have?" But I want to tell you this morning, he didn't have Isaac yet. And neither was he a high father or a father of a multitude. But God was getting ready to dispel his hardship. And God was getting ready to do something in that man's life that was going to make his name true and then some. I'm sure Abraham must have got plenty of ridicule because of that, but God was working in his life. And before God brought about all Isaac and then the children of Isaac and then the children of the children of the children, as it truly became the sands on the seashore, so shall thy fruit or thy lineage be, Abraham. As God said it's going to happen, then God made it happen in Abraham's life. And even when Abraham might have been being laughed at, you understand that God sets outside of time And so if somebody tells God, I don't know why you gave Abraham the name Abraham, because he's not the father of anything. He's not the father of many. He's not the multitude's father. But God looks at it and says, from where I'm standing, I have done this in his life, and it's all just as if it were already done. Haven't you had a good friend that you knew would be there before you even asked? You didn't have to ask. You only did it to be courteous. Would you come and help me with this? And you knew that he or she would do it. He was just asking out of formality because your friend was already there. Well, my friend, your friend that you're thinking about right now probably will be there and would be there and should be there and will be there if they're physically able. But my God has never been unable to do anything that he wanted to do. And so when God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father, and you're going to be the father of a multitude, you might as well mark it down. It is going to happen. A preacher that I know tragically lost his daughter-in-law and two grandchildren in one accident. The first day, the mother, which is his daughter-in-law, and one grandchild passed, and the next day, the other one passed. Some years went by, and that pastor's son married again. And as it were, God gave them a son, a grandson of this pastor. He said he was at the cemetery one time, and his grandson and some family were with him. And he said, as I was visiting the graves, I was torn. He said, on one side, I've got my granddaughter, or my daughter-in-law, and my two precious grandchildren buried there. But he said, on the other side, I've got this precious little two-year-old grandboy that just thrills my soul. I don't know how God always does it, but I know that God is able to dispel the hardship in our lives. And I've watched family after family as they realize that the dreams that they had weren't going to be realized, but God came through and gave them grace just like he said he would. God came through and was with them always just like he said he would be. And God dispelled the heartache and the hardship in their lives, but also he'll dispel the heartache and the hardship in your life if only we will let him. But today, maybe the tragedy that happened in your life sometime in the past has been like a cloud over you, or more yet, maybe like a huge weighted blanket on you. You just feel like, I cannot rise up. But my friend, can I remind you that as God told Abraham, you'll be the father of the multitude, you'll be the father of many nations. It hadn't happened yet, but it will happen. And I remind you, my friend, that you, if you're a child of God, you are a child of God. And the days might look bleak, and you may not be able to find the children right now that you want to, as Abraham could not. But if God has promised you something, my friend, may I remind you that even though you may feel deserted, God is ready to dispel the hardship in your life, because you understand that he still promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He still promises he'd be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He still promises that he will walk through us, with us through every valley that we go through. He still will be that one that sticketh closer than the brother. He still will be that one that will be your high tower, your shield, your buckler. He still will be that one that gives you all the promises. My friend, I'm just telling us this morning that God is ready to dispel the hardship in your life if you are a child of God. Let's walk out of this room knowing that our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and beat that, he owns the hills that the cattle are standing on, and he owns the river at the bottom of the hills. He owns everything around there. And for us to go up and say, well, could I be here on your land? God says, not only do I own that, but I own that and that and that and that. He's better than a rancher in Texas that says, I own as far as you can see. You say, well, that ain't nothing. My God owns all the way back around and come back to where it catches on this rear, the rear side. I'm telling us that God is there. We got an interesting story here. This hospitable man that opens his home, opens his life to these folks. A disbelieving lady. But friends, God is moving. I want to just bring this out for just a moment. I mentioned it earlier. But you see, Abraham's ready to receive these guests, and it's sounding good to him. Well, that sounds good. Tell me more. And Sarah's back over here. Ain't never done it like that before. Ain't gonna happen. And both reactions, as opposite as they were not enough to get or keep from God doing what God wanted to do. I sometimes chuckle when people will argue back and forth about what's going to happen in end times. You know, our church, we are a pre-millennial, pre-tribulational position, because that's where the Bible, I believe, it stands. And some people will argue, well, about pre, or some people say, no, we're going to believe in this, in this post-millennialist. Some people say that we're going to be an amillennialist, meaning that it's in the middle. And you say, I don't know about all that, and sometimes I don't either. But I do like what this one fellow said. He says, I think I'm kind of a, you know, you got pre-millennial, post-millennial, amillennial. He says, I'm a pan-millennialist. He said, what does that mean? He said, I think it's just going to all pan out in the end. And sometimes I chuckle when people argue back and forth as if our arguing is going to prevent or produce God to do anything but what God's going to do. I'm so thankful I serve a God and you serve a God that is able to work even in my or Sarah's disbelief. So this morning, are you discouraged? That pastor that I told you about had that funeral for his daughter-in-law and two grandchildren on a Friday. Sunday, he preached in his church, the Sunday 2 days after, and his wife taught an adult Sunday school class for ladies. Why? Not because they could show that they were doing it, but they did want to convince themselves and the other people that God was walking with them through that valley. This morning, these heavenly messengers that came brought some of the greatest truths that I wanted to bring forth today, and that is that God is at work and God is moving. And so this morning, Abraham's name, you may have a name like Abraham. Abraham, you're the father of the multitudes. I don't see any children, but that's all right, they're coming. God's going to bring Isaac into your family. And Isaac, Jacob, go see all these children that come up, and they're going to be, the nations are going to be blessed. Just keep on believing God. And this morning, if God has given you through His Word, as you've read in the midnight hours and you've read in the darkness, but God has given you promises from His Word and you're looking at that, you say, but Pastor John, it hasn't come true yet. My friend, yet is not something that God focuses much on, because again, He sits outside of time and eternity. Just because you and I say, boy, it's been a long time, time has no hold on Him. We can trust His Word. We can trust His promises. And you that are down and out, and even this last story, an evangelist came and preached, and after the service was over, he talked to this lady who was very down, and he asked, how are you doing? And he knew her from before. She was a believer. And she said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he said, as a child of God, what are you doing under the circumstances? He says, we're children of God. You can live above those circumstances. Even this morning, as families are here and they're grieving the loss of loved ones, the Bible tells us we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We sorrow, yes, but not like others that don't have any hope. And there's others in this room that are taking treatments right now. And you say, I don't see God working yet. My friend, trust the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me, Father? Thank you for this time to be in your house. I pray, dear Lord, that each and every one of us would yield ourselves to you, dear Lord. I pray that we would be listening, believing your goodness to work in our lives. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's away from you, backslidden and living in a way they shouldn't. Oh, Lord, convict them. Bring them back to yourself, dear Lord, I pray. I pray if there's somebody here that's unsaved. And my friend, if you are unsaved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to come. In just a moment, we'll stand and make it easier on you. Would you step out and come and let one of us take just the Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved? Maybe somebody needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Maybe you need to follow Christ in baptism or some other spiritual decision. Then the altar be open for you. As they begin to play, would you stand together with us? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Maybe you'd like to give something to the Lord. Just give it over to Him. Maybe there's something heavy coming up this week or next week. Just like, I'd like to spend some time praying. You say, Pastor John, I don't have to come to the altar, and you don't. But some of my best decisions have been made at an altar. I invite you to come. Here today, not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Something heavy on your heart and you'd like for someone to pray with you, step out and come. We'd love to do that too. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? You may look this way. I'm going to have Marty Scroggs in just a moment pray for us. Brother Marty and Miss Tracy have been in the church for many years, and Tracy's dad, Tim, has been here for many years as well. Their daughter is the one that will be commissioning tonight. I'm so looking forward to this evening. I invite you back at 6:30, and we'll try to keep the service about the normal length, but maybe just a hair longer, and we'll have a fellowship afterwards. But we're looking forward to a great, great time. And I want our church to be strongly behind Miss Summer as she heads to Botswana. We'll have a good time, and as I mentioned, many of us maybe never been to a commissioning service. It'll be a great time to come and experience that at 6:30 normal time, and we're looking forward to all that God gives us. But I want to say thank you again for being in church. Men, if you're able to come to that prayer breakfast, Amy and I will be back in the back. If you can stop by and sign up, so we'll know how many to prepare for. And then also, if you're interested in some more information about membership, there's that sign-up sheet that we'll have that membership class on May the 5th, and we'll have a good time, and that'll be just at our ministry house. Maybe you haven't been in there yet. You'd like to come see it anyways, but we'll have a good time together there. Thank you for being in church. Brother Marty, would you pray and dismiss us?
Father, we thank you for what we've heard here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that's in control and have a plan for each of us. Lord, we pray that you'll bless each one here. Pray that you'll bless the services to follow today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask you get honor and glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.